then, after about a half hour, 45 minutes at the most, we'll have Gorarchi. That's like our Sambhar Prabhu. Let us all welcome him. Hari Bol! As everyone should know, Kalasambhar Prabhu is the regional secretary of New Zealand. Steadfast devotee of Srila Prabhupada through thick and thin for many decades. We're very happy that he's here, blessing us with his presence. We're continuing with Madhya Lila chapter 21. Now please remember the theme of our festival is Krishna's opulence and sweetness as presented by Lord Chaitanya. Remember, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, it's not possible to describe the length and breadth of the ocean of Krishna's opulence and sweetness. He's going to give you one drop. But that one drop is beyond what even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma can understand. And we're going to, tonight, meditate on Lord Brahma's conclusion, his Siddhanta, his perfect conclusion after seeing Krishna's astonishing, inconceivable pastimes in Vrindavan. We'll start with text 16. Think about these things very deeply. Don't be intimidated by the inconceivability of what you're hearing. Later you're going to find out tonight the effects of hearing these things upon your consciousness. In other words, wrap your mind around these words, and gradually they'll enter deeper and deeper into your consciousness. And in that way you'll become very fortunate. Think. Why is Chaitanya Charitamrita saying this? Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai
Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So let us go right to the situation of Lord Krishna present in Vrindavan. What is the situation? Apart from all argument, logic, and negative or positive processes, when Lord Sri Krishna was present as the Supreme Personality of Godhead at Vrindavan, no one could find a limit to his potencies by studying his characteristics and activities. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You try to study him. Well and good, go ahead. Apply your logic and reason. Apply your powers of analysis to Lord Krishna. You'll not find a limit to his characteristics and activities. Study any person, you'll find a limit. But when you study Lord Sri Krishna, you won't find that limit. Even when he is playing as a cowherd boy in the simple cowherd village of Vrindavan. This is what Lord Brahma was so affected by. I thought he was just a cowherd boy. Now I see. What caused Brahma to exclaim like that? He had just been bewildered by Lord Krishna's mystic potency. As you know, Lord Brahma thought he had stolen all of Krishna's cowherd boys and calves. He wanted to test, is this Gopal, is that really Supreme Personality God? Let me do some examination, some laboratory testing. So he took away, he thought, Krishna's cows and cowherd boys. He changed his mind in a split second. I'm sure you've had that experience of deciding to do something, then immediately, no, I'm not going to do that. That's what Brahma did. Immediately, oh, this is not a good idea. I won't do it. But that split second of his time was a year of earth time. These things are going on in the cosmos. So for 1 year, Krishna covered up the missing cows and cowherd boys with his own expansions. He created Vishnu Tattva cows and cowherd boys. Each cow and cowherd boy was an incarnation of Godhead, which matched completely the individuality of the so-called missing cows and cowherd boys. And then right before Lord Brahma's eyes, he saw each of those Vishnu Tattva cows and cowherd boys turn into four-handed Narayan. Each one with his own Vaikuntha planet, worshipped by a Brahma. In other words, in one instant, Krishna created Vaikuntha planets and material universes, and they were all emanating from him and entering back into him. And Lord Brahma was watching all this. You can imagine what his mentality is. You have never seen such a thing. Indeed, you need to hear these things again and again. At first, they seem a bit like, this is out of this world, and how can you relate to this? But through devotional service, the more you hear, the more you become acclimated to Krishna's inconceivable qualities and characteristics. So that is the nature of the Lord in Vrindavan now. You study his characteristics. You study his activities. You can't find a limit to his shakti, to his potency. Now, we're not dealing yet with the madhurya, the sweetness. We're dealing with the aishvarya, the opulence. So our goal, before getting to the madhurya, which is coming up soon, our goal now is to drown in the aishvarya sagar, the ocean of Krishna's opulence. We'll continue, text 17. At Vrindavan, the Lord immediately created all material and spiritual planets in one moment. Indeed, all of them were created with their predominating deities. We do not hear of such wonderful things anywhere else. Simply by one's hearing of those incidents, one's consciousness is agitated and cleansed. Now we're going to look at this purport. This is a very important point for you to remember. The effects of hearing about Krishna are that your consciousness is agitated and cleansed. You know, when you put clothes into a washing machine, the thing in the center that spins is called the agitator panel. Its purpose is to shake the clothes as the water is, you know, there inside the washing machine. The agitator panel in the center shakes the clothes so that the dirt comes off. So, here Kaviraj Goswami is saying, when you hear about Krishna, your consciousness is agitated. Dirt starts flying out of your consciousness. Sometimes you might become afraid of that. We've explained before, you might have thought you were, you know, a very pious, nice person. And then you start hearing about Krishna, and you're shocked at all the gook that's coming out of your mind. Well, that is the effect. That's the genuine effect of hearing about Krishna. Don't be afraid. Be happy. It just requires some humility to realize you weren't as good as you thought you were. But you can become better than you thought you were. Your consciousness is agitated and cleansed. When you hear about Krishna, the Lord in the heart becomes happy and he reciprocates by cleansing the desire for material enjoyment from your heart. The impossible is done by the Lord in the heart. Don't feel it's hopeless. Oh, how will I cope with these material desires? All this dirt in my consciousness, it seems impossible. Everything is made easy by the presence of the Lord himself. And when you hear about Krishna, he reciprocates. He as the super soul within your heart does a clean up job, and then Krishna consciousness becomes much easier for you. So we'll hear Srila Prabhupada's purport. When Lord Krishna was present in the earthly Vrindavan, Lord Brahma, taking him to be an ordinary cowherd boy, wanted to test his potency. Therefore, Lord Brahma stole all the calves and cowherd boys from Krishna and hid them by his illusory energy. When Krishna saw that Brahma had stolen his calves and cowherd boys, he immediately created many material and spiritual planets in Lord Brahma's presence. Within a moment, cowherd boys, calves, and unlimited Vaikunthas, all expansions of the Lord's spiritual energy were manifested. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhi. Not only did Krishna create all the paraphernalia of his spiritual energy, but he also created unlimited material universes with unlimited Brahmas. All these pastimes, which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam, will cleanse one's consciousness. In this way, one can actually understand the absolute truth. The spiritual planets in the spiritual sky are called Vaikunthas, and each of them has a predominating deity, Narayan, with a specific name. Similarly, in the material sky, there are innumerable universes, and each is dominated by a specific deity, a Brahma. Krishna simultaneously created all these Vaikuntha planets and universes within a moment after Brahma's return. The word avaduta means rambling, agitating, moving, absorbed, defeated. In some readings of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, yahara shravane citta mala hoy duta. Instead of the word avaduta, the words hoy duta, meaning that the heart or consciousness is cleansed, are used. When the consciousness is cleansed, one can understand what and who Krishna is. That is our goal. We want to understand what and who Krishna is. What other purpose can you have to your life? The more you desire to understand Krishna, the more your life becomes perfect. And you can't say that you have never tried to understand someone. You apply your propensities to understand another person, to understanding Krishna, and then your life becomes perfect. You'll never get to the end of Krishna's characteristics and his qualities. Understanding Krishna goes on eternally. Now you're going to hear soon Brahma's own testimony of his efforts to understand Krishna. We'll continue with the purport. When the consciousness is cleansed, one can understand who and what Krishna is. This is confirmed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Yesham ta antakatam pavam jananam punyakamanam te dvanga moha nirmukta bhajante mam jidavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are free from the duality of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Unless one is free from the reactions of sinful activities, one cannot understand Krishna or engage in his transcendental loving service. Now, as always, you notice here in Srila Prabhupada's purports, he puts in the legal evidence from Bhagavad Gita. That is how to preach. Don't be afraid that people have no understanding or acceptance of Shastra. You explain to them according to logic and reason, and you also explain to them by presenting Shastra. You do both things. Don't become ashamed. Oh, what's the point in quoting Bhagavad Gita? Who accepts scriptural standard these days? You become expert. Don't give up so easily. So what if it takes you some years before you can preach authoritatively and attractively at the same time? Don't give up. People will spend 12 years in the university to be a doctor, including their internship years. Why can't you spend a few years learning how to present Krishna's words? Once, who told me this? Bhakti Bhushana Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada was in Germany, and he was speaking to a room full of devotees, and every once in a while he would stop speaking, stop preaching, and say, "What was that verse that makes this point in Bhagavad Gita?" And none of the men knew the verse, but each time he did this, one Mataji, she would say the verse in Sanskrit. Probably nod his head. He did this about 10 times. "What is that verse in Bhagavad Gita?" And the Mataji would sing out the verse in Sanskrit. And then Prabhupada stopped after the 10th time and said, "That is preaching. You support whatever you say by Shastra." So that doesn't mean you immediately go up to someone the first time you meet them and say, "Do you know what Brahma says in the Brahma Sahita?" I've told most of you a story of someone who did do like that. Yadvala Lochanananda. He's a wonderful, simple devotee. And he would go out on Sankirtan, this is in the early 70s, and just approach people with Bhagavad Gita. And he had his dhoti on, tila, and he'd be on the street. And he'd just approach them, open up the Gita and read a verse. Now, there's no doubt that many people were not going to listen to him. But he's a simple person, and he was just trying his best. One day, he approached a young university student. Opened the Bhagavad Gita, read, "Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I'll protect you from all sinful reactions, don't worry." And then he watched in amazement as this university student collapsed on the ground. Stunned by hearing Krishna's words of Bhagavad Gita. Then the university student picked himself up off the ground, gathered his consciousness, bought the Bhagavad Gita, and ran 3 miles back to his university room and started reading it. And later, that short time later, he became a big leader in Srila Prabhupada's movement. So, there is a way how to present the message of Krishna consciousness attractively, according to time, place, and circumstance, without sacrificing the Shastra. Don't be embarrassed by the Shastra. When you love someone, you're not embarrassed by their presence. Just like if you try to insult the lady's husband and she happens to be in a phase of appreciation of the husband. If let's be realistic. She gets very angry. "You offended my husband, you nonsense. I'll not stand here and listen to you say that." She's not ashamed to stand up for her man. So we're not ashamed to stand up for Krishna. That doesn't mean we ram the Gita down people's throats. At the same time, we're not ashamed, you know, let's put this book away, you know. There's a way to do both at the same time. It may take a while to learn that. Srila Prabhupada himself acknowledged that the most potent thing is to present Krishna as he is in all his glory. But he said it may take time to develop that art. So are you willing to invest that time to understand Krishna and present him as he is? In an attractive, compassionate, understanding, and sensitive way. Generally, devotees go one extreme or the other. Either they're like Christian Bible bashers, you know. I remember one Sankirtan partner I had, my godbrother Shravananda. He, in our early days of Sankirtan, when Christians would approach him when we were doing Sankirtan in the car parks, they would approach him with their Bibles, and He would just yank the Bible out of their hands, chuck it down the far part. It's a rag! It's a rag! His material background, he was Jewish, so he was quite happy when he came to Christian consciousness to realize that the Christians didn't have it all together, you know? That's one extreme. The other extreme is, well, let's not mention Bhagavad Gita at all. I mean, you know, the fact is these books are hard to understand, and Prabhupada, you know, all glories to him, but, you know, he's been uncompromising sometimes, and... And so, you know, let's just keep the books aside and just, you know, try to talk to people and, you know, we're just like you, you know. We do the same things, you know. Two days ago I was in Wellington and I went for a plunge in Oriental Bay. And so, you know, it's cold. I put on my wetsuit, you know, and my Speedo silicone cap. Yeah. So I was walking from the car park to the beach to take a plunge. Then this businessman comes up to me. Wow! I can't believe it. I mean, I go to the Gore Yoga Center, you know, sometimes, but I didn't know you guys put on weddings. I mean, you're really going for a plunge? He was just like totally impressed, you know, that I didn't know you guys did things like that. So I invited him, please come to the center again. And then I went into the water, and as I was in the water swimming, I looked on the beach, and there he was just watching like that. I guess he was thinking, wow, it's not such a great jump to be Krishna conscious. I mean, they put on wetsuits and go swimming. I could do that. So, sometimes we become overwhelmed by feeling exotic, and we go to the other extreme of trying to show the people, we're just like you. There's no difference. But you don't have to do that either. There's a way to do both. How to be sensitive and considerate, and at the same time, have to stand up for Krishna. That takes some time to learn. But what's wrong with investing a little time to learn this greatest art, this greatest skill? When you love someone, you want to talk about them. You want to understand them, and you want to help others to understand them. That is the basis of Krishna consciousness. Now, we're going to hit some verses about the Brahma Vimohana Lila, how Lord Brahma's mind was blown. According to Shukadeva Goswami, Krishna had unlimited calves and cowherd boys with him. No one could count their actual number. Each of the cowherd boys was tending calves to the extent of a koti, arbuja, shanka, and padma. That is the way of counting. In other words, once again, this is another way of saying you can't count the number of calves each cowherd boy had. Shanka is 1 trillion. Padma is 10 trillion. So now think, how do all those calves and cowherd boys fit into Vrindavan? But Vrindavan actually does not follow the rules of time and space. Next verse. All the cowherd boys had unlimited calves. Similarly, their canes, flutes, lotus flowers, horns, garments, and ornaments were all unlimited. They cannot be limited by writing about them. The cowherd boys then became four-handed Narayans, predominating deities of Vaikuntha planets. All the separate Brahmas from different universes began to offer their prayers unto the Lords. All these transcendental bodies emanated from the body of Krishna, and within a second, they all entered again into his body. When the Lord Brahma from this universe, get that point, the Lord Brahma from this universe, there are unlimited universes, each with its own Brahma. Because this is a small universe we live in, the Brahma here only has four heads. But in universes that are much bigger, the Brahma may have 10 heads, 100 heads, 1,000 heads, 1,000,000 heads. When the Lord Brahma from this universe saw this pastime, he was astonished and struck with wonder. After offering his prayers, he gave the following conclusion. Yes, this is our conclusion, what we will end with. Please think about this. Lord Brahma said, if someone says he knows everything about Krishna's opulence, let him think that way. But as far as I am concerned, with my body and mind, I consider it in this way. My Lord, your opulence is like an unlimited ocean of nectar, and it is verbally and mentally impossible for me to realize even a drop of that ocean. You go to the top of the hill here and look at Lake Taupo. It's not an ocean, it's just a lake. And to think that you couldn't even conceive of just one drop of that lake, that is what Lord Brahma is saying about the Vaibhavrita Sindhu, the unlimited ocean of the nectar of Krishna's opulence. I can't even realize a drop of that, verbally or mentally. Now you have the actual verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 14th chapter of the 10th canto, Brahma's prayers. Jananta eva janantu kimbahujya name prabho manaso vapusho vacho vaibhavam tavagocha. There are people who say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them think that way. As far as I'm concerned, I do not wish to speak very much about this matter. Oh my Lord, let me say this much. As far as your opulences are concerned, they are all beyond the reach of my mind, body, and words. Srila Prabhupada explains this quotation. Lord Brahma praying like this after he stole Krishna's calves and cowherd boys, and Krishna exhibited his transcendental opulence by recreating all the stolen calves and cowherd boys by his Vishnu-worthy expansions. So this prayer comes there. Now, the acharyas reveal, what is Krishna thinking when Brahma's making these prayers? Everything about you is beyond my body, mind, and words. Krishna's thinking, I'm just a cowherd boy. What are you talking about? I'm an ignorant cowherd boy from a simple cowherd village. I'm just herding my calves and playing with my cowherd boyfriends. What are you talking about? And then Brahma says, please, don't play games with me. I have now seen that even the littlest thing you do is beyond my understanding. I can't understand your cowherd boys. I can't understand your herding your calves. What to speak of understanding you? Lord Brahma says, I can't understand your transcendental body. So if I can't understand your transcendental body, how can I understand the transcendental happiness that you feel within yourself? All this is beyond me. Then Krishna will reply, but you've been offering such nice prayers about me. You must understand me. And then Brahma says, no, let's make everything clear. I don't want to be proud anymore and pretend I can understand you. Your qualities are beyond my understanding. My eyes cannot even properly behold your transcendental form. My words can't glorify you properly. Is that attitude that Brahma has in making this prayer? Jananta eva jananta. Let people talk. Foolishly, if they say they understand you. As far as I'm concerned, everything about you is far beyond me. Now, if Brahma says that, what to speak of us? So this, in conclusion, is the ocean of opulence that Lord Chaitanya is presenting us. He's going to drown you in that ocean of opulence, and then he's going to switch gears, so to speak, and plunge you into the ocean of sweetness. As he discusses Krishna's personal beauty. So this is the extraordinary treat we get in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So now, in appreciation of Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami and Chaitanya Charitamrita. We'll offer Gaurarchi to the Lord. We'll chant and dance. By chanting and dancing, understanding of Krishna comes very easy, even in the dense darkness of this age of Kali. So let us all partake in Gaurarchi with great exuberance and enthusiasm. Thank you very much.